I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Food Friday time now. Baking a loaf of bread from scratch might be a great way to relax this November weekend.
So we've got our bread baking ninja with us now. Ian Knauer is the host of the new PBS series called The Farm, and he's got a cookbook out by that same name. He also teaches bread baking at the Culinary Loft in New York. Ian, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me. Nobody's ever called me a bread baking ninja. I love that.
We debated about that, and we thought, you know what? Ian qualifies as a ninja.
Oh, yeah.
I have a black belt in yeast rising.
Well, let's talk about that yeast rising. I mean, a lot of us love freshly baked bread. I'm one of them. But when I bake it, it tends to come out like a bloated year-old fruitcake in texture, which is not exactly what I'm going for. Can anyone learn to make bread?
Anyone can learn to make bread. It is one of the most feared and also easiest things to make in your home kitchen. And I used to be afraid of it, too. I think it's really common because every time you try it, it somehow turns out different. You can't figure out why. Is that the problem?
Definitely. And I fear it, too, having tried it a couple times in the past. So what's the biggest mistake people make when they first start making bread?
The biggest mistake is not thinking that you're in charge. In other words, you're basically living in the yeast's world, and you have to learn to understand what the yeast wants and what it's doing, and you have to read the signs. You have to be a good listener to bake bread. And so if you think you're in charge, that's mistake number one. Now, the way that you can work with that is you can realize the function of the yeast, because the yeast is this living organism that is basically feeding off the sugars and protein that are in the bread, in the flour. And they like certain conditions. So they like it when it's warm. They like it when it's moist. And if you supply them with those conditions, then they're going to behave better. They'll be happy, in other words, and they'll rise in the time that you want them to rise, and they'll give you the nice air bubbles that you want, and they'll give you the flavor that you want, too.
Now, you can buy the yeast from the store, which is how I've often done it, how I've always done it, actually. But I've also heard that you can simply use the yeast in the air somehow to make a starter.
What?
Is that advanced?
It's not that advanced. It's pretty easy. And you're right. The air is full of living things, full of bacteria. We breathe them with every breath. And some of those bacteria are really good for baking bread. Now, the special thing about your own starter, which is what you would make sourdough from, is that anywhere you are is going to be different than anywhere else. So San Francisco, for instance, is famous for their sourdough because they have certain bugs in the air that taste really sour when they are used to leaven bread. Now, the way to do this, there are a couple different ways to do this. Some people like to use grapes. So grapes have a yeast on their skin. It's called a bloom. You can actually see it. Apples have it, too. If you get apples that haven't been sprayed, they have a little film on the outside, and that is a natural yeast.
That's that white film?
Exactly. That's why you don't need to add yeast if you're making wine. You just crush the grapes, and the natural yeast that's on the skins will ferment it. So there's a natural yeast on there, and we know from thousands of years of history that yeast translates into good bread yeast. So you can take some grapes, you can mash them up and make like a paste with some flour and then let that sit at room temperature for about 24 hours. And it will start to, those yeast in the grapes will start to eat the protein in the flour. And then you can, take all your grape skins out and add some water, make it into a thinner paste, and then sort of get all the solids out. And then that's a starter. Now, another way to do it, and the way that I like to do it, is with honey, because I keep honeybees, so I have a lot of honey lying around. So I make a crude sort of paste with flour and a little bit of honey and some warm water, and I let that sit at room temperature for about 24 hours. And sure enough, in 24 hours, those natural yeast in the air start to move in, and they like the sugar that's in the honey. Honey also has a lot of minerals in it, which is good for the yeast. And then they start to set in and make a home in that flour. Now, if you want to bake with that and use it as your yeast, you need to keep it alive. So that yeast is eventually going to run out of food. So you need to take some of the, basically cut half of it out and use that to bake your bread and then add some more flour and water. So you keep feeding that yeast and you keep going. You can keep your sourdough alive for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Wow.
Wow.
I think you just blew Rob's mind.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I knew none of this. This is cool stuff. Well, all right, so we've got our yeast, whether we made it ourselves or bought that little packet at the store, and we're into the kneading stage. Let's jump up to there. Any kneading advice to get the bread the way we want it?
Yes. Well, let's start with the rest of the ingredients. So we have the yeast, we have the flour, of course, mm-hmm. we have water, and we have salt. And each one of these things has a function. So the yeast makes little bubbles of carbon dioxide that give you the holes in the bread. And the flour has gluten in it. You know, gluten is like, it's a bad word these days, but it's absolutely necessary when you're making bread. And what that gluten does is it stretches and becomes stringy. And as you knead it, you activate the gluten. And those proteins wake up. And they hold the bubbles in the bread. So without the glutens, it would just bubble away and it would look like a soda, and all that carbon dioxide would go out into the air. But with those glutens, they trap the air inside, which is what happens when the bread is rising. So you need those glutens, and then you have your water, of course, which helps mix everything together, but it also helps steam from the inside out. And that's very important because steam is what gives you a crispy crust. And then, of course, the salt helps you taste it, and it also slows down the yeast a little bit so the yeast doesn't go too crazy. So all those four ingredients are important, but again, it's only four ingredients, and you have an infinite number of breads with those four ingredients.
Well, we just posted a recipe that you gave us for your favorite baguette basic bread recipe. Tell us a little bit about that recipe that's up on our Facebook page now.
So that recipe, I learned this technique from a French baker named Richard Bertinet. He has a baking school in England, actually. And I took a week of classes with him because I was afraid of baking and I wanted to learn how to do it, so I went to the expert. And this is based on his dough. It's a little bit different, but it's mostly the same. Now, he uses a much higher proportion of water to flour than what most bakers, at least in this country, are used to seeing. So when his dough comes together, or when this dough comes together that you just posted on the website, it seems really wet to a lot of people, and that makes them nervous, of course, because it's very sticky. But what you end up with, because there's more water in there proportionately, is a super crispy crust, just like a baguette or, you know, another European-style bakery loaf. And when you cook this, even in your home oven, you don't need a special oven for this. You will get literally a bakery quality baguette at home. It's the most incredible thing. It impresses everybody who makes it and tastes it.
And that's the point of baking, after all.
Right, is to make people happy,
right,
including yourself.
All right, the bread is made. What's your favorite way to eat it, Ian?
Well, again, you know, I mean, it depends on how fresh the bread is. So here's something that I learned. That is actually a really important tip. When you're baking bread, you want to let the bread cool completely before you cut into it or break into it. And we're all guilty of this. You know, you get excited and you think, oh, warm bread is great. And warm bread is great, but rewarmed bread is great. What happens when you cut into it, that bread is still cooking, still baking until it's cooled to room temperature because all that moisture that's trapped inside is steaming it from the inside out. And when you cut into it, you let all that out, and what you end up with is sort of like a gloppy, really gooey center of your bread. So you want to wait till it cools completely, and then if you like warm bread, warm it up again. And that's the way to eat warm bread.
That's a great tip to leave us with, Ian. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
That's Ian Knauer, host of a new PBS series called The Farm. He's got a cookbook out by the same name.